I hope all Hoosiers feel as happy and gratified as I do this morning. I want to start by just commending every member of the General Assembly. People who feared gridlock or paralysis instead saw another session of dramatic change and progress for our state. And thanks and appreciation to everyone. I'll single out Speaker Bauer and President Long, but really every member of the General Assembly deserves a lot of credit. We had vigorous debate, but it was civil and constructive, and there was lots of give and take, and as there should be, and lots of positive contributions by people in both parties. And I have nothing but thanks and appreciation for all their hard work.
Why did you choose to avoid making public comments in the final weeks of the session?
Just about results. And when we think that may best be accomplished by a lot of public commentary and maybe even forceful language, we'll try that. If we think being more quiet and conducting our work in private, directly with the legislators, and I would point out by traveling the state and trying to help our fellow citizens see the reason for new innovations or new policies, we'll try that. I just it's only about results for a greater Indiana, and I'll stand on the results that we just saw achieved. Well, you learn a lot, but I'll also stand on the results of the first couple of years, too. But sure, you learn, and I've listened a lot to members of the legislature about what will help us get to a successful outcome. But again, I was more than happy to let them occupy center stage, and they did very well. They performed very well on it.
Do you think the property tax plan will
It's a start. We obviously have a short-term and a long-term issue in property taxes. Trending and spending, you can think of it. Trending and also the inventory tax, that effect is a one-time hit, and they've dealt with it very directly. It won't be enough in every single case, and there'll be other people who will get relief probably beyond what is needed. But I think they did the best they could with the short-term issue. It leaves the long-term question of spending, which is to say, too much spending, too much government, too many layers, too many offices, and that's something we're all going to have to work on going forward. But they took very direct action to address the one-time effect of trending. And I'll point out that big jump that we used to have every 10 years will now never come back. This is the last time we'll experience that. And I commend, again, people in both parties for moving forcefully against it.
Will you sign the slot machine bill?
Yes, I will.
Can you talk about that bill a little bit and why you have decided to sign it?
Everybody knows this was not my idea, not my favorite idea. But in a session of give and take, I believe, all things considered, it's the best option available. And I will sign it. Many, many weeks ago, I told its proponents there were three conditions that would have to be met for me to have a look at such a bill. One was that every penny must go to the taxpayers, not one penny to make government bigger. They met that test. Two was that it must act forcefully to reduce gaming, even if it was going to allow more gaming in. And they have done that. Some seem to dismiss the importance of the measure that gives new people and new powers and new prosecutorial process to remove the illegal and very exploitative machines, which number at least 12,000 in Indiana today. But I think that folks ought to have, who don't think that's important, ought to have a second look. And I have twice asked our excise authorities, and they have assured me on each occasion that armed with these new tools, they will take out far more machines than are allowed in. The third condition was that we get reasonable value for the new licenses. And here I'm less sure, and I would like to have seen more. But at the end of the day, you have to make a yes or no judgment, and I believe that given the incredible priority of property tax relief to get us past the trending impact, this was the best available option. I think we should have gotten more, and yet the taxpayers will receive vastly more than was initially suggested, and I raised this issue repeatedly, as did others, and that's as far as we got. Time will tell whether it was full value or something short of that.
Would you rather see an auction for those or just a higher price?
Yeah, I'd have rather seen an auction. I think that's the only way you find out exactly what something's worth. We had an auction in the case of the lease and for the toll road and produced 59 times earnings. 59 times earnings. This looks to be something like 4 times earnings by contrast. We had a little informal auction with regard to the idea, which was set aside, about the possible operation of the lottery, and got a much higher number than most folks had anticipated. So I think an auction is almost always the one way. Competition is always the best way to find out, to get the best value. But we...
Governor, this is probably the last session full of serious, long debate over many issues that you'll have before a re-election campaign. How do you spend the last 19 months or so of your first term?
Well, first of all, I take gentle exception to your premise. I heard the same thing, by the way, last year. It's the short session. Nothing much ever happens. This year, I heard a lot of people say, all we have to really do is a budget. And, you know, with a divided General Assembly, we'd be lucky to get that done. Well, I think the members of both parties just proved that incorrect. So I don't accept that about next year either. And I'm already at work thinking about those things that are undone, or perhaps a couple new ideas. We cannot, I've said it so often, we don't have a day to waste, let alone a session of the General Assembly, without making progress on big issues that might make this a greater state. And we've just proved we can do that in a very bipartisan way, so I wouldn't rule that out for next year. And so our energies will be devoted, as they have been for 2.5 years now, to trying to come up with innovative ideas and progressive policies, and see if we can't find a majority one way or another to move them. Well, we clearly have the next step forward in property tax reform. I didn't mention, but we took a first step on the long term with the passage of the bill that gives income tax options to locals. I would just point out that if that were exercised statewide, it would result in twice as much reduction in property taxes as the slots money represents. More than twice as much. So that's a first step in a direction that we've talked about a lot, more flexibility to shift away from property taxes to other sources. The next step has to be to get at the true root of the problem, and that is local spending, which takes you in the direction of consolidation, in the direction of greater efficiency, fewer redundant offices, and so forth. So there's one.
Could you support the legislature's move to compel Lake County to enact
I'm going to give you an honest answer. If there's a compulsory provision in the package that went through last night, I hadn't seen it yet, but it's always been a mystery to me that with inordinately high property taxes, Lake County is one of those counties that's never used the authority that's been sitting there right along, and they really should voluntarily.
Can you get enough money for full-day kindergarten, and will you accept what you perceive there, or will you seek to expand this?
Well, it's not enough. The good news is we're moving in. We've inaugurated the era of full-day kindergarten, and I think we've taken an irreversible step in that direction. I wanted it to be a longer step, everybody knows. But again, in a process of give and take, you don't get all that you ask for. So I'm pleased that we've taken the first two irreversible steps in that direction, but sure, I'm going to want to see if there's a way we can accelerate and get to universal availability of full-day kindergarten as soon as possible.
Is there some way you can do that under the existing funding, or are you talking about coming back next year and asking for additional?
Well, if there's a way to do it in the short term, you know, we will look for it. It may well have to involve further legislative action, and so we'll look for the earliest opportunity to do it.
Could you address how you think your agenda went overall? I mean, you had a couple less old big blocks, the toll roads and the lottery, but you got the health insurance, you got a budget you can sign. But the both of those came with a lot of Democrat votes, which was interesting.
And I think very positive, by the way. I said in my State of the State, the best way to move forward is always cooperation, because then it honors everyone's contributions, and those policies tend to have more staying power. So I'm very, very gratified. And when we tally up our scorecard, I think we find something like 7 yes and 3 no and a couple partial, and that's not too bad. No one's asked but you just mentioned, Mary Beth, the health plan passed last night, I think can fairly be described as the most important health care legislation of our lifetimes. I've asked a host of people whether they can think of a better example, and nobody has. And so I not only am very excited about the passage of the plan and what it can mean for uninsured Hoosiers and for low-income children, and of course to try to bring down the second highest smoking rate in America, but I am so pleased at the way it came about. And Vi Simpson, for instance, and Charlie Brown ought to feel enormously proud of what they have done. I'm just glad to have been a teammate of theirs in getting this done. And you watch, the nation, I think, will start taking a very close look at the very sensible and in some way, in an innovative way, in which Indiana has just moved on this problem.
Democrats continue to say that the privatization programs are all bad, and they're blaming it for what happened last week in Newcastle. Can you address that?
Well, I think that's very fallacious thinking. I mean, let's divide the question. I think if people want to second-guess the decision to bring the Arizona prisoners here, that's a fair question. We're looking back at that. All things considered, we wanted to hire 300 Hoosiers and have them trained on somebody else's nickel for the day in a couple years when we will need them, and use a white elephant prison that was sitting largely empty. But, you know, that's a fair question. But in terms of who's running the prison, no question at all. First of all, we've had far worse riots in our public prisons. No one said, let's privatize them all, that'll stop it. No. Disturbances happen because of the kind of people who are inside, not the kind of people who are running the or the system in which you're running the place. And I'll just point out that opening Newcastle under that private management has saved taxpayers millions of dollars. We brought people home, please remember, that we had sent out of state. And we will have a look at the arrangement and the contract, but I'll just tell you that we'll think long and hard before we throw 230 good Hoosiers out of work. We'll need to, with jobs they've just received, we'll need to make sure we'd have a very good reason for doing that.
What about the assessment in Arizona that facility wasn't adequately staffed?
It's staffed more at a higher ratio than they staff their prisons. It's staffed at the same ratio as the public prisons of Indiana. It's staffed at the above the ratios of the national guidelines. So, you know, this whole situation, we'll get a good post-mortem, but I don't think you're going to find the answer there.
Governor Fahey has not entirely decided yet whether we continue to bring in Arizona prisoners or not.
It's up to Dave Donahue, and we've got the best corrections commissioner in America, in my opinion, and he's doing an absolutely spectacular job, and I'm going to let him have his investigation run its course, and then he'll tell me what he thinks is best. None that I know of, Nikki, but I can't say for certain that there's something in there that I haven't heard about yet. My preference is always to avoid vetoes. We try, and we don't always succeed because there's an awful lot going on, but we try to signal our concerns well in advance in hopes that maybe some modifications can occur. Sometimes if a bill reaches me and I don't like it, but we never said anything before, I'm very hesitant to veto it under those conditions. I do believe the legislators deserve notice and a chance to make a change if possible.
Will you attempt lottery privatization again next year, or is that way longer?
I think the idea still has a lot of merit, and I want to agree to set it aside. And one reason was that, as I said, I had a plan for $1 billion to try to really lift up higher education in this state. But you wouldn't want to be impulsively propose the use of a second or perhaps a third $1 billion. Now, I do think that we ought to have a process and talk together about how the state might reinvest those funds for a great return in the future. And I'd like to get a lot of people involved in that conversation, but I think we should have it.
What about that? Does that mean that we'll wait beyond next year?
I'm not sure that it should. I think the next 6 or 8 months could be plenty of time to come up with very exciting plans. And we want to talk to people in education, and the local officials of the state have huge pension problems, for instance, and there's some lots of ideas about how you could turn that into jobs in Indiana.
What about the argument by House Republicans that this property tax rebate check proposal really doesn't make much sense, and that people are still paying these higher property taxes in the next couple of months?
They may be right, but to me, the most important thing was to secure the relief as much as we could, to get past the effect of trending. And I was perfectly willing to go along with whichever mechanism the General Assembly chose for delivering that relief. They have a reasonable point, but it's still so much better than doing nothing. Again, I try not to talk in terms of threats, but we made it very plain this was unacceptable in its original form. And the biggest reason why is that it's really foolish to limit our flexibility. We could not have won the Honda plant, for instance, if we had not been in a position to say immediately, yes, we can widen 421, yes, we can build an interchange, yes, we can relocate a railroad. It's a tremendous advantage to this state that no other state I know of has, to have money in the bank earning interest and available so that we can move on opportunities. And that's the best reason. There are constitutional problems with limiting executive branch flexibility, but the best reason is that it really would take away a big advantage we have to move and move fast.
Governor, did you meet last night to try to get House Republican votes for the budget? Because up until the last minutes there, Democrats still weren't sure whether a couple members of their caucus were going to vote for it, and we'd be heading into special session
They had. Well, I'll just say that I made it very plain I would sign the budget, and that I thought it was although it had plenty of things in it that weren't my first preference, that was to be expected. You know, the House Republicans were making reasonable points. Yes, I would have liked to seen somewhat less spending. There are earmarks for things in there that I think probably shouldn't have made the cut. But this is a process of give and take, and when you roll it all up, I felt it was acceptable, and I communicated that. Yes.
When Speaker Bauer left your office late yesterday afternoon, he appeared to be agitated. What message did you give him?
Oh, I don't think I did anything to agitate him. I think that like 150 legislators, and me for that matter, there was plenty in the circumstance to be agitated about. It was a tense and difficult day, and he was trying to get a lot done. I think he did a very good job of docking some very large boats. And I have nothing but compliments for the way he handled his leadership responsibility.
Do you consider the slots bill an expansion of gambling in the state, or do you think the crackdown on Cherry Masters neutralizes that?
Everyone will have to decide on their own definition. I can just tell you that we're going to take out far more machines than are allowed in by that bill. And to me, that's a fair way to answer the question. Others may differ. I will also point out that the machines that will be taken out are illegal, often owned by organized crime, far more exploitative. Let me be honest. I wish Hoosiers would simply decide not to risk their money and inevitably lose it in these various forms of gaming. But it's a free state, and many choose to those recreational pursuits. But at least in these destinations, as people call them, you know that there'll be a reasonable payout, and you know who you're dealing with. So, again, some seem to dismiss the importance of enforcing the laws of this state on illegal gaming, but I don't. And maybe if you travel the state as much as I have and see how pervasive this is, you'd have a slightly different view.
There was a time when that bill would have also allowed the barges, barge-based casinos, mm-hmm. and imposed substantial fees on casinos that were already expanding. Did you have a hand in limiting that? Were you in contact with gaming industry people about that, those provisions?
I had some indirect. I knew about their concern. I was not involved in eliminating that. Well, I don't watch too. I don't find myself watching too much. I did toward the very end. No, we have. First of all, legislators themselves were running in and out regularly, and occasionally phoning in. And we have, of course, great folks who were running up and down. I was trying to stay out of the way and not let my curiosity lead me to pester very, very busy or even agitated people who had a lot on their hands.
Seen pretty much a wholesale change of leadership in the Indian Senate. What have we learned from that experience, and was it better via legislation?
You're the Senate expert. You take it.
I think most of the Senate members would tell you that it was rather seamless. The Senate is staid, procedural, traditional, and that continued through. I think David Long, as the leader, has gained a lot of respect, not only among the members, but all those who are out in the hallway, and certainly respect among the administration as well. It was great to work with.
Speaking of David Long, do you have any thoughts on the pay raise that the Senate leaders gave themselves in the budget?
No. Didn't know till I read about it in the paper, but... I placed a call to Secretary Leavitt this morning to let him know the great news that Indiana had acted. He's been very interested. Again, I think he likes the approach and the differences in our approach. And so we'll be working with the administration quickly to try to secure the necessary waiver. Well, it's a big enough issue that it could have, but it won't now because the General Assembly has, I think, acted, again, very aggressively on the immediate issue of softening the effects of trending, in some cases the inventory tax, and taken the first step toward flexibility and the ability for local government to shift away long-term from property taxation. There's more yet to do, but it doesn't necessitate a special section. Session.
A very long way, though, from where you wanted to start on the session. The original budget, you put in additional money for property tax replacement. In fact, Chuck Shalio said that the state needed to get out of the business of just transferring pots of money around. Are we any closer at all to what you want us to be doing and what mm-hmm. we need to do now to get there?
We are. The uncontrolled escalation of state taxpayer subsidy to local government has been stopped or slowed, And the first step, again, toward local flexibility to shift away has occurred. So there's a long way to go. And the base problem of spending, more spending at the local level than is really necessary to deliver good service, that one has not yet been tackled and remains. Thank you very much.